This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show on the internet. My name is Max, and my buddy, who's always here, and he never leaves.
Yeah.
I just sit and wait by the microphone. It's me. It's Travis.
It's true. Well, Trav, I think this was a pretty exciting episode. All sorts of fun things happened. The ending, I'm still reeling.
I love this episode. I was going to wait till the end to say, but I really, really like this episode.
Yeah, I'm
like we had said last week, that it was kind of like, what would you say, best episode of the season? And we're like, yeah, I guess so, because it had some great moments. But this was pretty nonstop, you know, not a lot of all killer, no filler for the most part.
Yeah, for sure. Even the early squash match had a lot to talk about, We should probably just dive right
well,
in.
Well, no, wait.
Do you want news and notes?
Yeah. We wanted to talk about this. We had mentioned a while back that our friend Ravenous Randy Myers is working that Defy show in Seattle against Johnny Mundo, or as he's going by, Johnny Defiance, at this show. But also Nicole Matthews is working against Taya. So,
oh, really? Same show?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So a couple local talent.
Former Shimmer champ.
Yeah, that's right.
Nicole Matthews.
I'm waiting to hear her added to the
Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, she was an alternate last year, so it just makes sense. Because she's not slowing down, that's for sure.
Totally.
But also, really excited about a Lucha Libre Spectacular coming here to Vancouver in August that has some Lucha Underground talent on it. Ray Horace and who else?
Puma King.
Yeah.
Bestia 666. These are serious.
These are not Lucha Underground talent, but yeah. I think Horace is the only
Lucha, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, mostly CMLL guys, but these are serious luchadors all the way up here in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
People
said it could never happen.
Yeah.
People told me, too expensive.
Yeah.
I wonder what the economics of this show is. How are they making money?
I didn't see it.
Must have cost so much money to fly these guys up.
Let me see if we see Modelo on the bottom of this thing. No, a lot of sponsors, though.
Lots of
craft beer.
Huh.
It's pretty cool.
I'm psyched. I can't wait.
It's an all-day thing. All-day affair opens at 2 p.m. We're going to bring a good crew. Food trucks, beer. It'll be a blast.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's probably it for news and notes. So let's
get
right
in. That's a real Canadian thing? Fur instead of four.
Fur.
Yeah.
That's it for this.
Yeah.
That's it for this. That's it. For that.
Yeah.
That's it for news and notes.
Yeah. Oh. Just an FYI.
All right, let's get into the episode.
Ring the bell.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 5. Recap, we get a reminder of the first medallions going away, or being handed out, as well as Matanza sacrificing Mr. Spectacular. And that leads us right into Mariachi El Bronx for probably their last thing, the five episode segments.
Mm-hmm.
Love these guys.
I did not. I said I was going to look up their music and listen to some stuff. I totally forgot.
Me too. The only time I think about it, I was like, oh yeah, I love this band, is at the start of their episodes of Lucha Underground. That's a shame. I'll put a reminder in our phones, buddy, and I'll share it with you.
Thanks.
Right away, again, we mentioned earlier how Vampiro's been cleaned up quite a bit. Looks like
style icon.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. But he's you know, he looks sharp. He looks more professional. I mean, maybe
he's wearing a collared shirt.
Yeah.
He's got his glasses.
Yeah.
He grew his hair out.
Yeah.
So weird.
I know.
You'd think he gave off the impression. I mean, the first time I ever saw Vampiro in my life was the first episode of Lucha Underground. And when I looked at him then, never in a million years did I think I was going to see him with hair.
Yes. Yeah.
And yet.
Yeah. It's weird. Like he's got such a kind of a, you know, cleaned up ska guy kind of look now,
huge,
right?
Yeah, totally. Like he's the lead singer of Mighty Buddy Boss Tons.
Yeah, or at least somewhere the hype man or something.
Yeah. I forgot that band just used to have a guy who just danced on the side.
That's right. But it's funny, did Stryker, his little t-shirt next to him looks like he's wearing pajamas, like some like toddler's pajamas, especially standing next to, or sitting next to the cleaned up vamp. Lots of, like, see, they handed out those like believer papers to the audience there.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. They're having fun. First match right away. There's our boy waiting there in the ring. Captain Cortez.
That's Mr. Cisco.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect to see him.
Yeah.
And maybe we never will see him again. So weird.
I think, fast forward to squash. I do want to talk about the, Antonio coming out, and he was on fire tonight.
Yeah.
So many, and it's right away here, on top of the stairs, my sources say, and leads into, and he calls for another sacrifice.
And, he outs him as a cop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I heard you.
My sources say you're a cop.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd is like, what?
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
So Cortez Castro is not your real name. So weird.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Antonio is really, and that, and this, you know, who are his sources? You know what I mean? So that might give me another notch on my, or a little add to my theory that he is Dario.
Right? Oh.
Who does Antonio have his sources?
Yeah, that's
true.
Like,
he's got
this
shitty little, he doesn't look like he's at the top of the food chain as much as Dario was.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Can just you remind me, I just need to go back in time a little bit here. Did we ever find out, I'm just thinking of Cortez Castro, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about when he was Veneno.
Yes.
And the greatest moment in Lucha Underground history,
yes, yes.
when Sexy Star thought that he was the one responsible for the spiders. Did we ever find out who was responsible for the spider?
No, and I don't think we ever will.
Maybe it was
Veneno.
Veneno.
Of course, the perfect plan. But she got one more at the end there. I mean, I think we might get introduced to a spider character at some point.
That can be cool.
But I think, you know, Sexy Star is not going to be involved.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyways, calls for another sacrifice. The crowd starts chanting sacrifice. Starting to really like, yeah, that fits the tempo. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it took them this long to do something like that. Or for that chance
totally.
To start, right?
It's a temple.
Yeah, yeah.
That feels like something they should have been just sacrificing jobbers from day one.
Yeah.
Although if they had, if you think back to season one, mm-hmm. the jobbers were Famous B, Ricky mm-hmm. Mandel, mm-hmm. They wouldn't be with us today mm-hmm. serving the role that they served.
Possibly. I mean, anyways, this is the fastest of mm-hmm. squashes, Wrath of the Gods right into it. I'm saying I like where this is going. So I think this might be more like a kind of Thanos type of thing where these guys can come back. Like there's some people we know are dead.
Yes.
Like we know Loki's dead and we know... probably, what's her name? Gamora is dead. And we also know, spoiler, that somebody's not coming. We know Lorenzo Lamas is not coming back.
Yes.
And we also know that somebody at the end here is not coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty gruesome.
Yes.
So I was going to say, so you do think that these guys could come back? Because I was looking at Mr. Spectacular, Cortez Castro, maybe you bring them back and they're sort of like dark versions
sure,
of themselves
sure.
or something.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just going to be those two. I'm trying to think
I know.
Of
who else is
going to
go.
I don't know.
God, who else is out there?
Steve Payne
yeah. is definitely not going to make it.
Yeah.
He's
on the top
sure.
of the list.
Gonna go down. Oh man,
a mechanic. No, not our beloved mechanic. Oh, we can't God. Kill off the mechanic.
No kidding. We haven't seen Arjenis.
Yeah,
I could definitely see him making
yeah,
an appearance.
Sure.
Or
perfect. Yeah, there's so many.
What's
Vinny
his name?
Massaro.
Vinny Massaro is not gonna make it through this for sure. God, I just hope they kill everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone should die.
Yeah.
The final scene should be Antonio Cueto just
oh,
putting a gun to his own head.
You meant to Lucha. And then lights out.
And then lights
just
out.
Silence. Executive producer, Chris DeDrosa.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Antonio Cueto. Castro.
What about Antonio Cueto's smile at the end of this? Oh, how
it was
happy.
Really intense.
I know. He's going nuts, and I love it.
Yeah,
it
made me want to be there, like,
yeah.
just to see that promo. Like, I can't. It's the first time in my life I've ever wanted to like be in the building to watch a squash match. Uh-huh. But it's like the energy then was just so crazy. It was such a play.
It was so theater,
right?
Big time.
Somebody comes out of the wing. They have a little. They have a little monologue.
Yeah.
They bring out another character. There's this action.
The audience starts screaming sacrifice.
So much super fun.
Interactive theater for sure.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Great stuff. Leads us to our next match, which is Joey Ryan.
Back to the sacrifices.
You want to talk? Okay.
I love the sacrifices. Hard to pick them apart. What would I change? Is there any reason why they just need to be pinned? Why not just have Matanza grab them by the neck and just break their necks?
That's a good point.
Right? Or just hit them so hard that they don't get up. Maybe. The pin seems so weird.
Well, now think of it as this temple, these are like the laws within the temple, right? Mm-hmm. Like if perhaps, you know, Cortez Castro came out on top, because this was a sacrifice match, he would get to sacrifice Matanza.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. You're like, I'm just throwing that theory out there.
Huh. Okay. I could see that. Sure.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
I'd like to see some neck snapping or even just like a one punch, like knockout. Sure. Punch to the heart.
Yeah.
Heart punch. Was there somebody with a finisher that was a punch to the heart?
No. Maybe Uma Thurman and Kill Bill. That's it.
Okay.
Next match, Joey Ryan versus Ivelisse. Ivelisse is, we were saying, she's on top of her character. It's so, I just love her fire. I find her really easy to cheer for.
Without question.
Yeah.
Without question. Comes out, looks super cool. Cool hat, cool bandana. Her shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, distracting in the best way.
Yeah.
Was it weird for you that we just sacrificed Cortez Castro, now we have Joey Ryan immediately afterwards, and there's like no moment there, you know? Because they were comps.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right? Like, they have that. They have all that history, and now Cortez Castro is just dead.
Yeah. Like, you know, you could have even just like literally 5 seconds of some like kind of internal kind of wow from Joey Ryan backstage, just kind of thinking to himself.
Yeah, or even like when Antonio comes out, it's like, my sources say, and then you just do an insert shot to Joey Ryan in the wings, kind of like watching the match.
Yeah, even something like that. Or just like him like kind of, just kind of like, what have I got myself into? Like, he's really kind of thick into it. Like, sure. My former partner is just murdered. But just seeing that
they weren't really fans.
But then from that, it doesn't matter.
Friends of
still, but like, you know, it's also whatever. But then it's just kind of, you can hear this him backstage, but then you hear Melissa start to do the announcement and he has to shake himself out of it and leads right into the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you needed to do.
Yeah, something simple.
Nice little acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, doesn't happen.
Nitpicking.
That's what we're here to do.
Yeah. Lollipop spot to start. They tease the plex a little bit. A lot of the sleazy shtick to start.
Has he ever done the penis plex on the show?
I don't think so.
Weird.
Yeah. I'm happy he hasn't.
How?
I think I had heard last season that it did happen, but I think they probably cut it.
Weird.
Yeah.
How long do you think Joey Ryan can continue to be Joey Ryan?
I'll tell you right now, I'm sick of the lollipop. Some people might not be.
It's been like 2 years.
At least.
I think that's probably one of the disadvantages that these guys have of being just on the indies. Like, I'm sure, like, you hear about it all the time. They're making all this money. They're making more than if they were in WWE, like, in NXT and all that sort of stuff, which is awesome for them. I want that to continue.
Yep.
But they do not have the luxury of a large stage in order to progress their character add layers, add depth. You're just going to kind of always be the...
That's a good point. Mm. And I think that symptom is, I thought that this felt like an indie kind of match for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And
especially like the count to six spot.
Oh yeah. That's totally what, when I first kind of wrote, like, I bet you he's done that all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the same symptom we were talking about with Pentagon, although he made a real bounce back today I thought.
Yeah.
Anyways, eventually, Ivelisse has a nice enziguri. He teases the Plex again, but Ivelisse reverses it for a near fall. And then she finished it with a really great strike sequence that finished with that really cool kind of kick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the Canadian destroyer, or Code Red, or whatever you want to call it, for the win. And she gets a medallion. So, you know, it wasn't a good match until you finally really got to see her kind of showcase it and remind us that she's awesome.
And one thing I did like about this is I really didn't know who was going to win.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So it was...
I felt that all night, man.
Yeah.
Well, other totally. Than Matanza Cortez. Yeah. So she gets a medallion. So we got... Well... We'll do a recap at the end here as to who's got what.
Sure.
But yeah, that leads us to the last two matches, but they're a little longer. Do you want to fit that last match in after break, or where are we at?
Well, we're only at 17 minutes, actually, so we might as well keep going.
Let's do it. I mentioned this. I thought Melissa Santos seemed a little hoarse tonight, but I kind of liked it. And I can understand this is still pretty kind of a new mother here, and it's not always It's not fun.
I assumed she was 3-4 months after giving birth, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think that's. I'm pretty sure that's what I had read.
Huh?
And
somebody out there had done the math.
Or like I remember when the shooting when the shootings began. Did sound weird when I was saying it. Anyways.
I remember when the shootings began.
A vertical.
Anyways. It's a three-way match for the medallion. We got Killshot versus Son of Havoc versus the Mac. I did not see that coming.
Avertible.
Yes. So, for people who don't know what that is,
yeah, of course they do. Unless they skip through the ads,
you just listen to the ads and you'll pull this.
Our beloved boss. Oh my gosh, that's great. we love you, Chad. Anyways, Antonio Cueto enters saying, "Hold on, this match is missing something." So again, he's out here delivering, as I said, a ton of gold today on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And he says two medallions are at stake, and he explains. So I don't think I really caught this at the time, but I figured it out by the end. Obviously, that you have to choose who you're going to pin, and the other, and that person will like that's a really unique dynamic. I can't think of a thing where it's okay, so two of you are going to win something, and I know all three of you are supposed to be friends, you know what I mean, but you're going to have to make this choice. Like, that's so diabolical, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way that can't create friction between these guys.
Totally, I thought it was good. I don't know how well it was. Yeah, I think the same as you. My immediate reaction was just like, well, the two of them will just team up and beat the other one right away. Like, what is the gimmick here? But I guess it was mostly just because the Mac is just such a pure baby face
I mean, if you're going to call Son of Havoc the tweener in this thing, but he was still leaning towards the baby face.
Yeah.
Side.
Oh, absolutely.
And they established Killshot as the heel right away at the beginning. So I really like this match. I thought the psychology was really unique.
Totally. It definitely won me over.
Yeah. Things felt a little too choreographed early, but that once the Max started doing his stuff that we hadn't seen in a while, and some stuff that we hadn't seen before, including that headstand spot into the corner.
Bizarre.
followed by the diving uppercut. Just great offense. There was too much to, like, it was awesome to see him doing this again.
Yeah, man. The Mac, you just forget sometimes. He has never had a bad performance in Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this guy? If you book this guy for a show in your local indie, what does he bring? Did we see like WrestleMania Willie Mac, or did we see this is just what he does every show?
I wonder too.
Man.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Guy
is fantastic.
I know.
He deserves so much more.
I know.
It makes no sense.
I know. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Anyways, you get a bit of a shot of a quick glimpse of Killshot's back, and it just looks disgusting.
Yeah. Do you think that what's his Shane Strickland?
Yeah.
Right. Is he a bit of a masochist type guy?
I'm sure. Like all of these guys, like or like a New Jack or a Sabu or like all of these, like, you know, maybe that's part of it.
Oh man. It's pretty crazy. Because, like, how much deathmatch stuff does he do outside of this?
Mm-hmm.
I know he wrestles in CZW.
He does,
which is a whole deathmatch promotion, right? So, I don't know. I hope he gets paid well.
What's that?
I said, I hope he gets paid well to do that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt it. You're not. I doubt he gets as much as you'd get from, like, a bigger indie show.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know.
I think, I think about that a lot with like guys like Onita and Funk.
Dude, that's where Shane Strickland should be going and wrestling in BJW in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he'll get paid money.
Yeah.
He will get paid at the very least a living wage to be to doing all the barbed wire stuff, all the glass stuff. If that's what he wants to do, he'll be the only skinny black dude in like history to do it over there.
Mm.
He'll be a huge star. What is he doing? Go make some money. You don't have a lot of time.
He is from the Pacific Northwest. Maybe he has travel restrictions, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Took a long time. Well, I don't want to give away names, but one local wrestler took a long time for him to start traveling. You can kind of put things together, right?
One local? I don't know. Anyways.
Mac with we see a great trademark facial from the Mac that we haven't seen in a while. That kind of fun double stomp from Killshot down the steps, but then was
from Son of Havoc.
From Son of Havoc, but then into a cutter from the Mac. Mac with some more Smash Mouth stuff and just crazy flip into the corner where he bounced up and landed on his feet.
Who would you? Sorry, back to the Mac.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fantasy book him for a second for me in NXT. Who are you gonna put him up against? Would it be a good like first feud? You introduce him. He's just pure white meat, Willie Mack, and he's up against who?
Oney Larkin, and he loses. Right, something like that, or Large Sullivan. Somebody really big like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, would that be entertaining? I don't know if I'd
find think like the way like he's their Smash Mouth, but but with a bit of that speed and the standing moonsault or standing.
He'd be so over. Yeah. What is going on there?
I don't know.
Is up with like any people should be clamoring. It should be a race
to sign the Mac.
Like, what is going on with ROH? How is ROH not? Right there.
I don't know.
Easy.
And he seems like a really easy guy to get along with.
You'd think so.
Maybe there's something else going on.
Is it just geography? Because he's in LA?
I don't know. Maybe it's his own passion for the form and how much he's willing to promote himself.
I wonder if he has a day job. Does Willie Mack have a day
job? How many matches has this guy had?
Well, let's find out. What's he been up to lately? Yeah, keep going.
The crowd is waned. I thought the crowd was great tonight. Killshot with that kind of nasty AA to the apron on Son of Havoc. So it's just really building up heat here. Mac hits his stunner, and they're both down. But Mac can't decide who to pin. Like, again, like, I can't think of any other match I've seen where someone has had to make this type of decision at the end. It's very different. And he ends up deciding to pin Killshot. I thought really good stuff. I went 3 stars on this. I felt choreographed early, but really unique psychology. And I felt that the stipulation really amplified the drama for what could have been. I expected a good match, but I didn't expect it to grab me the way it did.
So it looks like he averages about 50 to 60 matches per year.
Mm-hmm.
We're in July now. He's on track. He's got 30 under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he's been wrestling for Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore quite a bit. So that would explain maybe the Tommy Dreamer connection.
Sure.
I guess we're not going to see him again.
Probably not.
What a weird thing that was.
Eh.
And then other than that, he had one match with Impact.
That's right. Yeah.
Was that through the joint
Yeah, the Lucha Underground versus. I heard that was the match of the night. God, we should be watching this, for goodness sake.
We're terrible.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, anyways, right after the match, the little dissension with Killshot again, as you know, that's what you kind of expected by the end of this, but they really got there in a different way than I expected. So, yeah, I was hip.
And what's amazing is that they're still the Trios champs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at some point...
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. I expect another three-way between them, maybe at Ultima Lucha Trace.
And maybe...
Or Cuatro. Pardon me.
Maybe the Rabbit Tribe be coming there and challenge for the Trios at some point.
Maybe.
And we'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, still rattled. I really don't know how I feel about it.
I know. It's good. We just finished watching this. That felt like something I needed to sleep on, the way this thing
ended. How do I feel about this? Yeah. I don't know. I love to be surprised.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Let's see, how are we doing here for time?
Well, we've only got the one match left, so yeah.
Well, we also have the final sequence to talk about. So anyways, this is a good time. We need to take a break. Here's a message from our friends at Place to Be Nation. Keep an ear out for our special Easter egg.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Travis, did you watch Man of War: Art of Violence?
I must admit, I did not.
No,
not this week. I feel like I want to watch it with my wife. It feels like one of those shows we should have on during
appointment
like
viewing,
or Saturday morning, or like, you know, yes. When you're, because there's always, we always just have that kind of American Pickers or Pawn Stars,
sure,
or whatever on during the day. I think it'd be a nice kind of thing, and I'd like to hear her thoughts on it, right? So to give you a little more sure. outside perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should get her to write up a little synopsis, and we can read it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. That's a great idea. Notes from Christine.
Yeah, but there had been multiple messages online to us.
Oh, really?
About how, hey, Travis, you were talking about Stardew Valley.
Oh, really?
In episode one.
Oh, really?
We want to hear how things are advancing.
Okay. Let's keep it brief.
I will. But I just want to. It feels like you're a tough sell on this game, and it surprises me. It seems like it'd be a game that'd be right down your street.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, well, let me start by saying this: strong, like really heavy socialist undertones throughout.
Oh, wow.
The possibility for same-sex marriage.
Are you trying to win me over?
I don't
understand.
On top of everything else. But yesterday, I've been so into this girl. Her name is Maru. There's all these people who live in this little village.
Yeah.
I've met her mom and dad. Like, they're really cool. I don't know everybody. Oh,
wow. You meet the parents.
She worked well. You meet everybody in the thing. And you learn who's single and who's attached and stuff like that.
Oh, can you split people up?
I don't know yet.
Huh.
Good question.
That could be interesting.
I've learned you can get divorced.
Oh, really? This just sounds like life. Why would I play this?
Because it teaches you the best of life. The best challenges are like, do I do what's best for me right now? Or do I do what's best for the community?
Oh, God. Just sounds like so stressful.
But in a beautiful way. Because it led to, this is what I want, the reason why I'm super excited to talk about this, is it led up to, so you just keep giving presents and winning people over and hanging out.
Sounds
and doing
great.
These little things.
Yeah.
And I got to like the as far as you could get in terms of building up hearts with Maru, and I went over to her house. And the reason why I kind of saw something in her is that she's like way into like tech, and like she loves looking at the stars. She's like she's a dreamer.
Okay.
And she does lots of robots and stuff, and I find out that she had in her basement, in this like kind of secret room, she had created this sentient robot that she was unveiling to me. And it's like, hello. And she's like, it's like, great. You're going to do all these chores for me now. And her dad comes down and figures like, she's like, what have you been doing all this time?
Is this a spoiler? Does this need spoiler alerts for Stardew Valley?
But it is if you go the Maru route, or if you start falling in love with Maru.
Okay.
And her dad comes down and is like, oh, I thought you were fooling around with Travis down here, because it's always my name. That's what makes it so great. I keep taking screenshots of all these other things. It's like, now that I know that this is what you're doing, I guess it's okay. And now we've got a robot who can help us out. And she said, I did it for you and mom. So he can help you out.
That's nice.
And he's like, actually, Maru, the robot starts talking. You put some sort of, you gave me self-awareness in my into a cortex, and I don't want to be a slave.
Whoa.
And he flies away. He's like, I'm going to go around the universe. They're look around through the galaxy.
Crazy.
And see what I can find. See if I can find other sentient beings like myself.
Wow. Okay, so now I want you to take this, and I want you to make it a Lucha Underground plot.
Oh my gosh. So who would be the whoever you want? Maybe Ivelisse. I can see Ivelisse having this kind of like secret little garage where she's been working on something.
All right.
Maybe something like what was that? Hugh Jackman, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Type
yes.
Thing. What was that called?
Real Steel.
Real Steel.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, maybe she's like. Like, I'm getting my ankle broken and stuff, you know, like all these things are happening. I can't even walk out the street without getting, like, I need some, like, I've been betrayed by so many friends. I got to make a new friend here. And so like, maybe she unveils him at the thing and everyone's like, oh my God, that, like, we talk about Cage being a machine.
Oh, that's right. That's good. Yeah.
But it just, you know, like, and maybe he's just destroying somebody, whoever he's working over, like somebody who she's got a grudge with. And maybe she's taking it too far. It's like, it's kind of like revenge. And he looks over and realizes, this is not what you designed me for, Ivelisse.
Jack Evans. Yes. He's just destroying Jack Evans.
Yes. And he has a chance just to like destroy him and like drops him and like out of the
just fires away. Aerostar style.
Yeah, Aerostar style.
Into this. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. See, inspiration is everywhere. Well, it's not hard to book wrestling.
I know.
What is wrong with people? Yeah. I don't get it.
Anyways, right after this, Maru and I were married.
Oh, well, hey, congratulations.
it was a beautiful ceremony. She did all the planning.
Oh boy. Okay.
I thought you were gonna hit the Calgary or he's from Alberta.
Yeah,
he's
not Canadian. I was debating. Is okay. That one or
dude, that is straight up whacked. You know it, and I know it, but hey, it is what it is.
Anyways,
Travis
my daughter
is in love with the computer.
And my daughter loves sitting and watching these things happening next to me as I'm okay, let's go see what happens when I go in here. It's just like, so what's the deal with the robot?
Yeah.
Anyways, here okay. We go. Leads us to our main event.
What a tangent.
I know. Main event, Mil Muertes versus Cage with Mil Muertes enters with Katrina mm-hmm. in red.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they do a good job of... I thought Stryker and Vampiro were... As good as this match was, this is the worst... the most... I was like rolling my eyes today or like just not thrilled with the stuff they were saying.
There were a distraction a couple of times, mm-hmm. but it wasn't atrocious. Mm-hmm. I felt like times they were just not calling the action. Like the whole bit with like, who do you think is the better wrestler? Don't care. Who do you think is the better fighter? Don't care. I was going to ask you what you do care about, but I know the answer. It's violence. That's where the sequence should have ended.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it went on like, oh, no, I care about going to the gym. Yeah. I care about people who adopt puppies. Like, puppies, stop. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah, they're free-forming too much with mm-hmm. guys, like jazz guys who don't quite know how to play their instruments. Hey, there's Marty Elias is back with a full beard. Looking good. and Cage, I should mention, comes down as well. Mil Muertes versus Cage. A lot of beating each other up. Just really beating each other up throughout this. Mil with a fun head scissors spot right after they had said he doesn't do too many of those aerial things. Yeah. Moves to the outside. Cage grabs Katrina and we're all just like, hey, big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Cage, nice suplex off of the middle rope. Good strength spot. I felt like there was a lot going on. I didn't really get a chance to write a lot during this, but... we get to see that Mil Muertes punch and then a spear that misses and hits Marty Elias knocking him out. So we get the first, like I really enjoyed this sequence too of a discus lariat for the pin, but there's no ref to count. And a new ref comes down, can't get the full count.
That's
in,
right.
So Cage is upset and beats him up. An amazing ref bump from that guy. That wasn't Knox because Knox came later.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the best ref bump I've seen on Lucha Underground. I loved it. And Knox comes down for another near fall. He gets a Reaper's Trident from...
Because there was a choke slam.
I can't remember. Yeah. Anyways. And then there was that really crazy looking spot. That Cage, where it almost looked like he kind of cartwheeled what's his name over, but almost landed on his head. It looked like it could have been a botch, or it could have been something I'd never seen before.
When he's leaping off over the ropes into the outside?
No, that came later. But there was like,
know. Yeah, it was like a fisherman slam that then he sort of put a little extra mustard on it and spun him in the air. Yeah, it was crazy.
At this point, I'm like, I'm really liking this match.
Yeah, yeah. I had never seen that move before.
I don't think so either. And that led to that really cool camera angle for that flip Cage to the outside. Just high energy stuff from him.
Cage is so good. That's another guy. It's like, what, how is this guy? What are people afraid of for bringing this guy in?
I don't know.
So like, good.
I think it was Cody Rhodes had said a while back that people get to where they get. Like when people are talking about why isn't this guy getting the push? He says there's usually there's a reason why. Whether it's burning bridges or just not knowing how to
do it.
Yeah. All right. How to play the game, mm-hmm. as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it there. What was that? Something into the crowd. What was that? Oh no. Oh yeah. Reveal.
Pentagon.
Cage is in the crowd. He's got his arms up. And all of a sudden we see the reveal, the old classic, somebody in a hoodie.
Yeah.
And it's Pentagon in the crowd.
I popped so hard.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like, here we go. There he is.
Yep. That was the most excited moment for me this season so far.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Pentagon's reveal in the back.
Yeah.
because it just happened naturally. Some guy stood up, and I could see him. He was wearing a Cuerno mask, and I was like, oh, is that Cuerno?
Hmm.
And then he pulled it off. I'm like, it's Patagon! Yeah. I yelled it out loud. Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, again, good. More great drama here.
Then it was an unprotected chair shot.
Yeah. Well, after a great kick, I was like, ooh, awesome. Then the chair shot, you're just like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, it fit with the brutality here. But you don't want to encourage that sort of activity.
Exactly.
So, Pentagon leaves them out, beat up in there. In comes Mil Muertes for the flatliner.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Elias slowly coming to life for the really slow three count for the win.
That was a great shot, too, when that count was happening, because you could see Pentagon in the background counting along.
Yeah.
It was great.
I loved this match. This is my favorite match of the year.
And I got to tell you, it just occurred to me that I think I've acclimatized to the ugly rope color.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I went 3.5 on this. It was a car crash at times, but I loved it. I was smiling and going, whoa, and making all these noises throughout.
But that was good.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's about... Is it the best match so far this season?
I think so. Yeah. I do. I think it's better than the three ways to the grave, just because that...
took a while to get going,
and you know, here we had this really hot crowd all night tonight.
Yes,
and that makes a difference, not only in the atmosphere from when we're watching it, but you can see it in the performers, right?
Yeah,
like they are so much more into
absolutely
it.
Crowd pops so hard just when they were like, and coming to the ring, Katrina, and the crowd was just losing it right away.
And it just all started with that sacrifice chant, and they didn't let up.
Oh man!
Kudos to episode 5's crowd, whoever that was. If you're listening out there, we forgot to mention how much I forgot to mention how much I love Katrina's new getup.
Oh yeah.
Nice little wrinkle there at the end with
lick of death.
Good for Stryker to mention it.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A clear plot point.
Mm. So Stryker's doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. They did hit the right stuff here when they had to hit it, but there was just as we'd said, a few times when they were distracting. Pentagon Dark is on the mic and better than he had been before. Pretty good promo. It definitely picked up for sure. Just basically saying he's gonna.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the logic behind why do you give him a match, or I don't know. It's just weird.
What do you mean?
Well, he emerges from the crowd. He hits him with a chair. Then he's like, next week we'll face for the championship. But why?
Oh, again, we're like looking at these Aztec rules, the temple rules, right? This is how you prove yourself.
It just feels like that's what Antonio should have come out to say.
Yeah.
I guess. Hey, I'm nitpicking maybe, but I don't know. I just like logic.
Yeah. So after that incredible high.
Yes.
We go to the home of the rabbit tribe. Post-credit sequence here. You know, it's a standard kind of Dadaism. Did you ever study Dadaism in your time in undergrad?
I don't think so.
It's just lots of black and white. It's really interesting. That is really kind of... Yeah. Do a quick Google. When you get it, not right now, it's got this whole kind of look to it, and they're all being crazy, and enter Masquerita Sagrada,
and we got a spoken line from Salazar.
I think so
which was
kind of goofy,
which was weird,
kind of silly.
Yeah, got to talk for the first time.
Yeah. And then enter Masquerita Sagrada. He says, hey, muchachos, the white rabbit will see you now. And they go down this thing. And I kind of thought that was going to be it after this kind of little trippy moment, bro. What's it going to be?
Paul Linden also doing fantastic, man.
Yep.
Just totally commits.
Yep.
So good.
I didn't see really a weak link in the acting wise tonight at all.
Well, it wasn't a lot of acting.
No, but... Yeah, but even, there wasn't a time... Anyways, performers, all the talent was great tonight.
Yeah.
Anyways, it shows up. Do you know who this guy is?
No.
I feel like we've probably heard the name, or I feel like his voice was familiar to me at the beginning. We didn't get a name anyways after... So he's sitting on this throne of... or roots or something.
Yeah.
He says, I've been waiting for you. I'm right. Who is this? I guess this is the White Rabbit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's got a quick glimpse of a luchador. luchador's mask, a blue and red luchador's mask.
Well, I think that...
We'll get to it.
Okay.
And he asks, what can you offer me now that I found you? And he says, kill the man who brought you to me.
I really didn't want him to do it.
I know. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it happened.
And it was really gruesome.
Paul London bludgeoned beloved Masquerina Sagrada, covered in blood. Really just like crazy and you know, I don't know, attempts at like Lynchian type.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's a mini legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's been murdered.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At first, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, I wonder, like, because, like, I was thinking it's possible with Callahan and with some of these guys that maybe there was, like, heat, right? So we're like, hey, we're going to work you out of here and you're going to be gone for good kind of thing, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you got to finish this...
contract or...
Yeah, or something. Like, I don't know. I'd say that, like, maybe, but... I'd probably, you know...
Yeah.
No, nothing to back that up with.
Sure.
He says something like, now we'll see what you're willing to do. That's like the last thing he said. But then you see in the like kind of Roots little cage that reveals that luchador is a little person.
Yes. So it's probably
that
the same.
Is Masquerita Sagrada.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. I think so too.
But you know, the character of Masquerita Sagrada, we had a lot of good times with that guy.
Oh, totally. Totally. Him and Son of Havoc. How will Son of Havoc feel? Good point.
Does he still live it? I guess. Well, you know, he's kind of moved in with these guys now.
Yeah. Oh man, do you think we're gonna see? Think Son of Madness is still around?
I was thinking that today when I saw Son of Havoc, the back of his vest. Yeah. I remember. Oh yeah, the other guy.
Oh yeah, the other guy. Australian or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Alrighty. So, well, I'm excited to see what happens. I'm really intrigued to see what happens with the Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah.
That's the biggest hook for me this whole season so far. Mm. It's the thing I care about by far the most. Mm. What is going to happen next with those guys?
Yeah.
Who was the root guy in the throne? Who is the little guy in the root cage?
Yeah.
What's gonna happen next?
Yeah,
have they powered up?
Yeah, good question. I like the way we're finding that. Like these, I like that kind of. We keep thinking about that idea of powering up because we are seeing it, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, cool. Well, I guess that's about it. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Like Non-Stardew Valley related.
Like I said, I really, really like this episode. It's been a while since I remember smiling this much.
Yeah.
Kind of being into everything with this show. That's good. That's good. Encouraging, right, bud?
Absolutely. All right, if you want to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Twitter. That is the place to do it. Just search for Lucha Afterground. I'm sure that we will come up. And other than that, we will be here next week.
Question remains. Will you join us?